So let us join together to worship God. When Jesus asked, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And if Jesus was to ask us, would we make the same bold answer? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Come, let us worship him together. We join to sing, "I lift my eyes to the quiet hills." So let us pray. Lord God, we come before you in humble adoration. How blessed are we that one who holds the keys of the kingdom of heaven is the one who holds the key to our hearts. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being part of the amazing story of faith that sustained our ancestors and sustains us. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." You, Lord, blessed Simon because he finally understood who you were. And you also have helped us to understand something about you. Lord, we already have so many keys on our bundles. Help us to find the right ones to open the doors that you choose for us. Make us ready to be like Simon, do great things in your strength. Lord, forgive us when we trust more of ourselves and not of you. Forgive us for the times when just because somebody's story is different from ours, we are easy and quick to dismiss it. Lord, help us to remember that only we can live our story and help us to live it to the fullest. Forgive us when we see you as less than the Son of God, and help us to understand that we are working with you, our magnificent God, for the work of your kingdom. Thank you for our smallness, but thank you that with you, Lord our God, the contribution of each of us matters. And forgive us for those times when we have held back because we can do so little. And the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for us, offers forgiveness and gives us peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We have two readings this morning. The first from the prophet Isaiah, and of course you know, the second one will be from the Gospel according to Matthew, because that's the one we're following at the moment. The first one, Isaiah, has God on the move through his servant bringing liberation to the people. And then from Matthew, Jesus has taken the disciples a long way north to the city of Caesarea Philippi, the seat of Roman rule through the puppet king, Herod the Great's son Philip. And it is here where Jesus gives Simon the name Rocky. And Carol will read the Isaiah passage to us, and Maddie the Matthew.
Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 6. The Lord says, "Listen to me, you who want to be saved, you that come to me for help. Think of the rock from which you came, the quarry from which you were cut. Think of your ancestor Abraham and of Sarah, from whom you are descended. When I called Abraham, he was childless, but I blessed him and gave him children. I made his descendants numerous. I will show compassion to Jerusalem, to all who live in her ruins. Though her land is a desert, I will make it a garden, like the garden I planted in Eden. Joy and gladness will be there, and songs of praise and thanks to me. Listen to me, my people, listen to what I say. I give my teaching to the nations. My laws will bring them light. I will come quickly and save them. The time of my victory is near. I myself will rule over the nations. Distant lands wait for me to come. They wait with hope for me to save them. Look up at the heavens. Look at the earth. The heavens will disappear like smoke. The earth will wear out like old clothing. And all its people will die like flies. But the deliverance I bring will last forever. My victory will be final."
Second reading comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet." "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Good for you, Simon, son of John, answered Jesus, for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen.
Hello. In the future, we look forward to meeting you and getting to know you. Please contact us if we can help, even just for a chat about the big stuff. The texts from which I am preaching today are Isaiah 51, 1-6, Matthew 16, 13-20. Maybe mute, stop me now, and then come back in. We've had Peter as the one who walks on water and sinks, the brave one who tries, or the loser who fails. You decide. And as an aside, whichever one you do decide on, it probably says something that maybe we need to wonder about. Anyway, now we have Peter as the one who answers the question from Jesus, who am I? And gets the answer right. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are not merely one of the prophets. You are not merely one in the line with John the Baptist and Elijah. You are something, someone different. And Jesus tells Peter that he is right. Jesus accepts the title. He then goes on to say that flesh and blood have not revealed this to Peter, but God in heaven. And Peter speaks from his own experience. He has seen Jesus turn water into wine, feed 5,000 and 4,000 from a picnic. He's seen him walk on water. Peter's ability to see and to understand has come from God. But before we get there, let's just pause at this issue about a prophet. Christians are dismissive of it. Of course, it's not in our theology. Jesus, for us, is more than a prophet. But I would suggest that for many of us, we live as though he was merely a prophet. People believe in God and think of Jesus as a teller of tales, and that's it. So many of us are actually Unitarians rather than Trinitarians, and that means that we are left on this planet with only memories. In the face of the virus, we rob ourselves of the depths of the riches of our faith. The Christian message needs to be explored at this time. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, says the prophet Isaiah. Quarry into your treasures. Get them out and use them, he says. What is she talking about? This is not the time for theological niceties. And I want to say to you, yes, it is, brothers and sisters. What your view of God is pivotal to the living well at this time. If your God is Zeus, who throws thunderbolts from a distance and then retreats, we are alone. If your God is with us, in us, then we have someone to accompany us. We can lament, cry, swear, shake a fist, and eventually we can dance and sing and know that God is in us and around us, and know that pain and suffering are not outside of the experience of God. We believe that God in Jesus was tortured and hung on the cross, and that truth changes everything. Suffering can be transformed by God, we say, not merely transformed by the efforts of human beings. If you believe that God as creator made the earth, then cleared off, we are left alone, looking backwards. Christians believe that God is with us in the spirit, inside us and creating still. God who is known in love and kindness, in courage and self-sacrifice. God who is known in tenderness and creativity. That is the work of God. It didn't happen once and then God sort of caught up the newspaper, kicked back and relaxed, clocked off. God is with us and God is here in the middle of the pain. So back to Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, says Jesus. What you see is one thing. Understanding what it means is another. So the question is, where does our understanding come from? What are the lenses through which we look at the world? For many of us, the lens that we are looking at the world is through fear. All of us are looking through the lens of short-term uncertainty, uncertain of how things are going to work out. Yes, we know about God and salvation and comfort and love. They are certainties. But jobs and paying bills and second spikes, now we are in the world of uncertainty. In these two readings, there is a lot of rock chat. Peter, the rock upon which the church is to be built, and in Isaiah, look to the rock from which you were hewn, or the quarry from which you were dug, or ponder the rock from which you were cut. Look at your foundations. Listen to me, says God. Lift your eyes to me, says God, eyes out of the gutter, away from your screens, which fill us with fear and distorted view of how the world is. No information is neutral. People have a message that they are trying to convey. At the very least, their foundations show. Whose message would you rather hear? Look to the treasures of our faith. Listen, says God, open your ears. Yes, God, I am listening, some would say, but you don't seem to be speaking. The prophet describes the hearers as those who pursue righteousness, pursuing the good, not merely talking about our own concerns. This passage speaks of God as one who is longing to be in contact. And we have to wonder about how we are listening, as well as wondering about how we are seeing and understanding. Look to the rock, look to the foundations. The words of Isaiah to the people is a word to a small, decimated gang. They have been repeatedly beaten by a foreign power, and now they are back home. They have the massive task of rebuilding their nation. The situation is not cosy. It's not a cheery word to a group of people who are doing well. They are refugees, newly returned home, rebuilding their capital city. People building from the bottom up when the brightest and the best of them are gone. The message to the children of Israel is, remember that they're all from the same rock, every one of them. You may think of your situation as being particularly dreadful, but you are all hacked from the same rock, says the prophet. We Christians would want to expand that, talk about all people from the same stone, and our humanity links us all. Everyone has the potential to know themselves as linked and saved through Jesus Christ. The job of all Christian people is to preach this good news to all. Our religion is beyond racial or nationalistic boundaries. Everyone can know this support, and we have to tell it. How will we do it? Well, the one thing we can say with certainty, we will be doing it in a new way. Amen. So let us pray. We trust you, Lord, to answer our prayers. So we bring our concerns. We pray for those who struggle with their faith because they doubt themselves and their worthiness, because of the terrible circumstances in which they are living, because bad things have happened to them. Those who struggle because they have been led astray. And those who have focused on worshipping false gods, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for those whose understanding of the faith is superficial. And up till now, it's been okay. But now they are left. So we pray that people would take the time and give the energy to explore the treasures of our faith, to give it the intellectual rigor and the heart-led understanding. So we pray for those who feel that they are in the dark, locked in a situation where they can find no answer, that they may come to understand that you are the key. And we pray for Christians near and far, that we would be able to be people who would make others curious of what we have to share, and find ways to communicate your good news. And we pray for those who feel that they are in the dark because they are in the dark of depression and low mood, and those who are terrified when they consider the future, overwhelmed by it. We pray for the politicians and the medics. We pray for those who lead our local councils. We pray for teachers and administrators in schools getting ready for children to return very soon. And we pray for ourselves. For those that we love, Lord, we pray. Lord, when each of us is in a difficult situation, when we try to unlock doors that aren't ours to unlock, when we don't focus on the kingdom, when we don't share our story, inspire us, challenge us, Lord, may we be your curious people. Take us beyond our fear, and we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Some notices. For the future, our plan is that we will be continuing to worship on Zoom at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and we recognise that for a large number of members and friends of the church, this will be the right way to go forward. But for others who feel more confident about gathering, we will be offering worship at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. It will look and feel very different from what we do normally. Everybody has to wear a face mask. Social distancing has to be maintained. There is no time for fellowship afterwards. That's out with the rules, and there'll be no singing either. So you'll be sent a message about this, and We want it to be very clear that everybody has to make their own choice. Because maybe you're physically robust enough for this, but somebody in your household is not. And nobody is going to be judging or pointing a finger at anybody else. We've got some volunteers to make this work, and we're grateful to Catherine and to George and the making the building ready. So that's come September the 6th, 5 o'clock, that's when we start that. We offer at the moment prayers every day at 2 o'clock. We need somebody who'll pick up this up for Saturday. If this is you, would you send me a message? Going forward, we have 5 days covered. We need somebody who'll do Saturdays. Would you please speak to me about that? The latest podcast, which is absolutely fantastic, as the others are. If you haven't accessed the podcasts, let me tell you, there's a whole world of really inspiring things for you. Somebody this week said to me, she says, oh, I didn't know about the podcasts. I've just listened to one. It's really great. I says, yes, I know. I've been banging on about them. So click on them. They're on very accessible on the website. So the latest one, which is has proved a challenge to people, but it's really, once people have reflected, they've had a lot to say about things they are grateful for in this season. The next one is, have there been any verses from the scriptures or stories from Jesus or other parts of the Bible that you have found particularly helpful at this time? So would you send me a message or would you record it on your WhatsApp? That would be, or some other way, it would be great. So now we're going to move to our Holy Communion. And the first thing we need to do is to dedicate our offering. So I'll remind you of our commitment to give financially to the life of the church. And I would remind you of our commitment to offer the whole of ourselves for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now let us make our offering, and I will offer a prayer of dedication. So let us pray. Eternal God, we offer you our bodies. We offer you our physical strength, that all we do with muscle, sinew, and nerve may give you glory. We offer you our tenderness and our loving, that the love we give and receive with the grace and sensuality of our bodies may bring you delight. We offer you our thinking and our feeling, that our working out and our enduring may be in the service of your will. We offer to you our bodies, know that they are not perfect or the finest of specimens or healthy in every way, but we are glad to know that we are holy and acceptable, a sacrifice that you willingly receive and tenderly love. And we are grateful. Amen. So let us gather at the Lord's table, knowing that we are welcome, and that people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and gather at the table in the kingdom of God. The two disciples, one called Cleopas with the stranger who had joined them on the road, arrived at the village of Emmaus. The stranger made as if to continue his journey, but they pressed him, "Stay with us. It is late. The day is almost over." He went in with them. And when they had sat down to supper, he took the loaf and said the blessing. "Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to eat, which earth has given and human hands have made." He broke the bread and offered it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. Their day had just begun. Do we not feel our hearts at fire within us? So let us pray. Thank you, God. How can we not thank you for the measure of all your love we see in Jesus Christ? How can we not join with your whole church on earth and with all those who have trusted and triumphed in Christ's name before us to sing your praises for the whole world to hear? How can we not trust you and follow you to the edge of time and the threshold of eternity, where we shall find your fullness and enter it and join in universal praise to you forever? Until then, Lord, let our weak faith and feeble praise suffice. Receive us as we are and use us to show women and men the wonder and promise of life and the immeasurable height and depth and length and breadth of your love and your truth. Be honored and praised, Lord, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus says, I am the living bread. Receive my life from the Father. The bread that I shall give is myself for the life of the world. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus stood and cried aloud, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, let him drink. Anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The body of Christ, which is broken for us. The blood of Christ, which is shed for us. So let us pray. God of freedom and hope, when we live courageously, taking risks to put you first, you bless us many times over. You have promised us new life and constantly offer us fresh opportunities to live freely and multiply in your blessings. Lord, ours is a turbulent world. We recognize that there is a time to hide and a time to emerge from hiding. A yearning and a working to bring about hope. We strive to see you more clearly, for you are the love that nurtures and nurses and moves us on. Help us to hear your voice calling, naming those who are oppressed and urging us to draw them out of the depths into new life, brimming with your promise. And thank you for this table that reminds us that you are with us in the everyday experiences of our lives and that you are God who would nourish and accompany us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's join together to sing our final hymn, Father, hear the prayer we offer. Thank you. So please, please stay for a conversation in the chat room if you're able to, or if that feels too socially complex for you, then please, maybe this is a good time to give somebody who's a friend in the church a call. And if you feel a bit embarrassed, you say, "Oh, that blooming Leslie Charlton, she made me do it. Here I am." So, you know, now reach out, be brave enough. Let's close by saying the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The love of God.
The love of God.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. With our souls.
Evermore.
Amen.
Amen.